Birth Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Hi, I'm Marin, and welcome back to IndieBirth's Taking Back Birth. We have a series of podcasts here on iTunes, and I am making my way through a pregnancy. I'm about 32 weeks now, and with each week, trying to cover relevant topics, areas of interest, both to those of you that may be pregnant and following, or those that may soon become pregnant, or those just interested in birth and politics of birth and physiological birth. So today, I don't know that this is necessarily specific to where I am in pregnancy, although it's very important, and it was something I definitely wanted to cover. Something you need for sure in your pregnancy, no matter what. No matter what kind of birth you're planning, no matter who you plan on being there, hardly matters. Today we are talking about intuition. And we're going to talk about what that means, how it relates to birth, specifically in pregnancy. Also a bit about how it relates to midwifery. I know some of you are interested in that, and I actually gave this talk earlier this week to a bunch of midwives, and that was more focused, obviously, on how we use intuition as midwives, but I want to share a little bit about that with you as well, because many of you do hire midwives, and so it's interesting, I think of how that comes into play as well. So, intuition today, how we use it to make decisions in our pregnancies and births, and how we differentiate between intuition and fear. I think that's an important subject to cover. But not as much on fear in this podcast. Have some other ones on fears and pregnancy a couple months ago. But today, the focus is on intuition and why it's the only thing we really have to ourselves in pregnancy and in our births. It's the only thing that no one else can do anything for us. It completely comes from within. And I think it's important to talk about because as mothers, we use our intuition, hopefully, and we develop it in pregnancy and birth, and then we go on to continue using our intuition. And you know, we use it in mothering and in raising our children. So it's very important. And I believe that it's important enough to talk about so that we preserve these models we care so much about, meaning the holistic model of birth and then the intuitive mothering model. It's very important that we preserve these things so that in generations to come, people haven't lost touch with what's deep inside of them. And that's a possibility. It certainly is. So I think there's hardly a more important topic than intuition when we're taking responsibility for your own birth experience. And again, what that looks like for you could be different than what it may look like for me as far as where or who or any of those kind of details. We still, as pregnant women or as women that may become pregnant, can choose to take responsibility for our births no matter what. So let's get right on with it here. What is intuition? I think most people have an idea. It's become more of a mainstream concept, I believe, the last couple of years. In fact, if you Google intuition or how to practice intuition, there's lots of courses available. I don't know much about any of them, but people in all walks of life would like to develop their intuition for various reasons. So what is it? It's that deep knowing, a deep knowing that comes without reason, evidence, or proof. So completely different than something you learn out of a book or even learn from somebody else. It's from the Latin word intuire, and that means knowledge from within. So same concept there. It's a non-conscious cognitive process. So it does happen within our brain, perhaps, but it's not something we're able to control. There are many other names for intuition. having a hunch, just having a feeling. Sixth sense is a big one. And conscience. You know, how often have you heard, let your conscience be your guide? Well, that's intuition. It's this voice for some inside that tells us how to make a decision or, you know, what the right choice for us is. So there's a quote here that came from Prince Charles, of all people, in 2000. And his description of intuition, I thought, was pretty accurate. So here it is. Buried deep within each and every one of us, there is an instinctive, heartfelt awareness that provides, if we allow it to, the most reliable guide as to whether or not our actions are really in the long-term interests of our planet and all the life it supports. Wisdom, empathy, and compassion have no place in the empirical world, yet traditional wisdoms would ask, without them, are we truly human? We need to listen rather more to the common sense emanating from our hearts. So I'll tell you why I like that. I think, first of all, he's just got it completely right that intuition is in everybody. And women have the reputation of being more intuitive. That may be true. Children are certainly intuitive. Animals are intuitive. But every person has an intuitive sense. Whether or not they connect with it is a different matter. But buried deep within each of us, as he says, is an instinctive, heartfelt awareness. And he's right. It's instinctive. And we'll go on to talk more about where people feel it. And the heart is definitely one of those places. So I think he's got a great quote here. And he says, it's the most reliable guide as to whether or not our actions will be in the best interest of our planet and the life it supports, which really is what we're talking about, because I am looking at this as a much bigger issue than just intuition for me in my pregnancy or my birth. I'm looking at it as women everywhere connecting again with this intuition so that we can support life on this planet in the way we want to. So thanks, Prince Charles. Pretty good quote. So science is often in direct conflict with a subject such as intuition. Probably that's obvious. If intuition is, you know, non-conscious and can't kind of be measured and it's deep within us, it's not something that has been able to really be studied as much as some other subjects or to be quantified. But somebody named Tony Bastick in 1982 did do a study on intuition. And I thought that was kind of cool that he tried to isolate some characteristics of intuition. So, you know, we could probably spend all day talking about these characteristics, but just to give you a sense that there are sort of some common descriptions of intuition from source to source. And I think he hits a few of them that I wanted to point out. So some common characteristics of intuition, because it is an actual thing, it's not like a made-up concept, is confidence in the process of intuition. So that means that we believe that it's a thing. We're not thinking it's made up. We know it's real, and we know people use it successfully. So another one would be the sense of certainty of the truth of insights. So I think that comes back to trust, really. Understanding that you must have trust to have intuition or to be able to trust your insights or, you know, what your gut is telling you, your sixth sense. Another characteristic is the suddenness and immediacy of the awareness of knowing. Now, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but just that intuition is a fast process. It's not something you ponder and work out and reason. It pops in and there it is. It's immediate. That's another characteristic. Let's see. The association of effect with insight. So again, that trust and building those trust experiences into experience so that it makes sense and you trust yourself more. And when you trust yourself more, perhaps you're more intuitive, because you know that that's a skill you can look to. The non-analytic, so it's non-rational, non-logical nature of the experience. So that's a characteristic, is that it doesn't have to make sense. You don't have to have proof. It doesn't have to be logical. Pre-verbal part of intuition. So perhaps there aren't words. And if you think about times you've had an intuitive moment or thought, sometimes you can't explain why you feel the way you do, why you think choice A is better for you over choice B. It's just something that feels a way, and that would be perhaps pre-verbal. And then lastly, let's see, the possibility that an insight may prove to be factually incorrect. There are a few other ones in there too, but I kind of tried to highlight the ones that made the most sense to me. So the possibility that the intuition may be wrong or factually wrong, which I think is an interesting way of putting it, because there's, you know, sort of wrong on the outside when you're considering linear logical facts. And then there's wrong intuitively, which those things might be very different, really. But the point is that intuition isn't perfect. But whatever that means, you know, it could still lead you to the right conclusion or down the right path. But on the surface, it could look like you made a wrong decision for one reason or another. So it's not 100%, but what is? Nothing is perfect. So there's lots of types of intuition. I don't know that I think that's really true or something I would focus on, but sort of in the commercial mainstream world, if they're trying to sell intuition and perhaps a course about intuition, I think that's more how they're wrangling people in nowadays. That's my opinion. You know, that there's sports intuition and investment intuition and that kind of thing. Really, to me, intuition is intuition, but I guess you could start to focus it on your area of interest, which of course we're doing. We're talking today about intuition and birth. So psychic sense or the sixth sense is a type or perhaps a variation or, you know, a variety of intuition. And I agree with that. But that's not to say that all intuition is psychic, you know, as far as the clues you would get or the voice you would hear. So it just depends. But in the mainstream world, again, there seems to be sort of these compartments of types of intuition. But I think as mothers, for sure, it is about our sixth sense. And that doesn't always mean psychic, but, you know, obviously it's not sports intuition or anything like that. It's something else that we focus in on as women and mothers. So where does intuition come from? I think that's a great question. This is certainly a very intricate scientific concept, and that is not my area of expertise per se. So if you're interested in like exactly physically where in the brain, how it works, then you can find many articles on that online. But in a general sense, yes, it does initiate in our brains, and the right brain perhaps is what we're familiar with our intuition and our creative side. That's the female, you know, less linear side. So yes, that's where intuition comes from. But I guess I mean, where does it come from on sort of a bigger scale? And this could be a more religious answer for some, a more spiritual answer for others. To me, I think it's a greater consciousness. So, you know, if we're all connected, if we believe that, then these answers that we seek come from this collective consciousness. So, you know, some people think it's their true self. If they're not connected to others necessarily, when they're connected to their intuition, they're getting these answers from their self, from their deep, deep, deep self, not their, you know, superficial self sitting here, but the self that has always existed. So that's pretty intense. But, you know, there are many others that think intuition comes from God or whatever, you know, the figure of worship is in their lives. And these things are all true. I don't think there's a right answer. The point is it comes from a place of love and a place that always feels secure. So whatever you want to call that, that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from your brain, you know, other than what we already talked about. It doesn't come from something you learned, a fact. It comes from some deeper place and probably something bigger than all of us, whatever we call that. So intuition in our body feels a certain way, and this is also different from person to person. I don't think there's one way. I know for me, I feel it deep inside in my gut, in my stomach, that it's solid. Some people feel it more in their heart space. Sometimes it's a voice. Some people literally hear a voice, whether that comes in a dream or just, you know, in their head. Again, dreams. That's a great place to experience intuition. And of course, dreams can feel lots of different ways. Most people seem to say that intuition does come effortlessly and fast and immediate, especially when they're practiced at it. We mentioned that before. It's not something you sit and hope to get or try to get or try to create. It's just there, and especially if you trust it. So again, dreams and journeys are other ways that many people access intuition. Meditation is another one. But how it feels, I think, is important. And when we're comparing to fear, then we need to be aware of the feelings in our body, because fear in our body should feel very different. So a tiny bit on fear, because we need it to compare with intuition. And there's always that question, especially in birth, whether we're the midwife or we're the mother. You know, we don't want to ever confuse our intuition with fear. That seems like a very bad thing to do. So it's easy to confuse those things, I think, early on. And again, intuition requires trust and practice, which we'll talk more about. So it's, you know, it's easy to run into situations where you have to kind of think harder than you would like about, okay, what is this that I'm feeling? Is that just fear, or is this something deeper than that? Is this something real? Especially when we encounter negativity about the process, people that don't believe in intuition, people that think, you know, that's crazy, it's irresponsible. We'll talk more about that, but we'll begin to doubt ourselves. So fear definitely does play in, and it's obviously, you know, one of our human emotions. Can't get away from it completely. But fear comes from our ego self. So if intuition comes from this deep place of love and trust, our true selves, then fear is much more superficial. Fear is really physical in your body, and intuition can be too. As we said, you may feel it in your heart or your gut, but fear to me has a different feeling. To me, it's a more nervous feeling, frantic, scattered, chaotic, anxious. There's not a deep source of peace. There's really not any peace. It's sort of surfacey and nervous. And for me, I feel that more in my head. It's not something I feel, you know, in my body as much. So that's how I would compare the two. And, you know, we may just have to work through the fears that we feel. And, you know, one good way, at least I read this online somewhere, is that you can kind of keep a journal of what you're feeling, whether, you know, where you feel it in your body or what pops into your head or whatever, and keep track as well of the thoughts, so whatever the thought may be. And then you can kind of inspect later whether that seemed intuitive and did that match up with a certain deeper feeling. Or did it turn out to be fear? You know, if you can tell that, and was the fear felt a certain way? So getting familiar with how your fears feel is just as important as getting familiar with how your intuition feels. That way you can, you know, ignore the fear to a certain extent and choose intuition as best we can, of course. So again, intuition is a skill, and I do believe that children especially enter into this world with a really amazing sense of intuition. So what happens to us? You know, that we probably lose a lot of it and need to re-strengthen it. I don't have the easy answer about that, but I know, you know, going into my childbearing years, there was sort of a renewed interest in learning about it and trying to figure out how I could get better. So again, there are courses you can take. Not recommending any of those per se, because I really don't know. And I honestly don't think you probably need a course for the sort of intuition we're talking about. It's more about self-observation and beginning to trust yourself and, you know, working out the issues that you have when you don't trust yourself so that you can get to a place where you want to hear what your intuition has to say. But practice is definitely great, even if it's not a course. Again, with meditation, some people, you know, music is a good way to sit quietly with music on, to do journey work, which is a shamanic technique that I'm familiar with, or dream work. These are all ways to practice intuition. And there are some good books. One that I like is called Mother Wit, and I don't remember the author offhand, but you could put it on Amazon or something. Mother Wit, and she just has a bunch of exercises through the book where, you know, you practice basically visualizing and journeying. And once you get good at journeying, which is essentially like dreaming in an awake state, then you can start to inquire questions, you know, of your greater consciousness and get answers. So that's a really amazing thing. And that's a great book. And all of these things will help strengthen your intuition. And that, again, will help you separate that from fear. So not a bad thing to do. So here's the part where we talk about, at least for a little bit, the fact that intuition is not valued in our culture. You know, like so many of these podcasts, so many of these subjects are just not status quo, are they? There are things people aren't talking about, things that are not seen as valuable or useful in the mainstream world. But heck, that's why I'm here. I certainly don't care about that. And intuition is so important that I guess it's no surprise to me, in a way, it's not valued in our culture just because it's so powerful. And, you know, as people lose touch with it, of course, then it becomes harder for them to get it back. But in pregnancy and birth, it really is the only tool we have. Obviously, besides good health and, you know, taking care of ourselves, it is a tool that we can only give ourselves. I think that's what I was trying to say earlier. So, you know, in this day and age, mothers and midwives that say that intuition forms the basis of their decisions, and that's called authoritative knowledge. So people that say that intuition is their authoritative knowledge are often seen as uneducated, irresponsible, crazy. You know, the world we live in is so linear, and we need A to equal B plus C. And the technocratic model of birth just believes in machines and numbers and labs and technology, and really has shoved out any use at all for intuition. So we need to understand that we are relying on a different model when we're using intuition as the basis of our decisions. It's perfectly legitimate. In fact, it's more than legitimate. It's been around forever. And, you know, we don't really need to prove it to this other world. It's just a world that will never value something like that, something that can't be quantified, something that can't be counted. But we know, as women and mothers, that we must get back to this model or it will be lost. So along those lines, there are certainly, you know, midwives even, that might not honor the intuition of the mother. And that's something to be aware of. I think midwifery, as an ancient art, was based on intuition. Both the midwife herself had intuition, and the families and mothers she worked with did as well. And they kind of worked in concert together. And that was really how they made so many of their decisions. And it's not to say there aren't midwives like that around today, but there are far, farther and fewer between. So, you know, with the emphasis on midwifery legislation and prosecution and persecution, midwives themselves are not relying on this model anymore. So if this is something that's important to you and you live intuitively and it's important to have an intuitive care provider as you go through your experience, then that's a huge thing to make sure you get in somebody. And again, when it's not something people are talking about, perhaps we have to come up with other questions or ways around it to find out who's the intuitive one we want with us. But we do need to do it, because there's nothing worse than being on a completely different philosophical level about birth with the person that's supposed to be walking with you. But intuition is huge. It's not a minor thing. It's not a silly thing. It's not a debatable thing, really. It's super important. So, you know, in this society where it's become a mainstream habit to look to the outside of ourselves, which is how these series of podcasts started months ago, me encouraging you from the very first day to look inside yourself. It's not that you can't ask for support or knowledge or information from the outside, but that we have what we need inside. And so essentially, from that very first podcast, I have been talking about intuition. Because intuition is clearly a looking into ourselves. There's not a reliance on machines, technology, and numbers. So here's a major point, and then we'll talk a little bit more detail. If we give up our intuition as authoritative knowledge, birth will and has become medical. So it is that simple. And I think a light bulb moment went off for me this week when I was putting this together. Because I can just as easily get into the, oh, it's the hospitals, oh, it's the doctors, oh, it's the C-section rate that, you know, has put us in this state of distress with birth, in the U.S. at least. But this light bulb moment, no, reminded me that as women, this is our responsibility. We do not have to give up our intuition. We do not have to separate from it. And the most empowering thing is we have all the power in the world to reclaim this gift. Nobody can keep us from our intuition, really. And so in a perfect world, if every woman were to reclaim her intuition, of course, it doesn't mean that birth suddenly becomes perfect. It just means that every woman is in touch with what she needs for her birth. And the possibility of birth becoming medical in a society that based itself on intuitive knowledge would be next to nothing. Because the real medical births would be reserved for the few rare medical emergencies. So I just want to make that really clear, that that's the bigger reason for this. We can take it back, and that's how we do it. It's not about anybody else, and it's not even about money being thrown in, you know, the medicalization of birth, really. It's something much deeper than that. We must respect our intuition and want it back, and not agree with this world that says that's irresponsible, because it's not. So there's a quote by Robbie Davis Floyd I really like, kind of illustrates my point. She says, "Those women who most deeply trust birth place themselves quite consciously as far out of the reach of the technocratic model as they can, choosing to give birth in the sanctity and safety of their own homes and grounding themselves philosophically in a holistic model of birth. Like the midwives who attend them, these home birth women have no trouble understanding the value of connection. Indeed, connection is the most fundamental value undergirding their holistic paradigm." Love Robbie Davis Floyd. She is a cultural anthropologist, does a lot of work on birth. That's probably from Birth as an American Rite of Passage, which is a fabulous book. Also at Indie Birth this coming Sunday, we are hosting a webinar based on these concepts, the technocratic model versus the holistic model. And if you're listening to this podcast at some other moment in time, you can still check the site, and the recording for this webinar will be available for purchase if you'd like to explore those ideas more. So just a couple more minutes here on pregnancy and birth. What is an intuitive pregnancy? Well, I think we've been covering that the last 15 plus bunch of podcasts, and that encompasses so many things. I won't try to recount it all here, but you know, what is an intuitive pregnancy? It's eating intuitively, whatever that means for you. And of course, that doesn't mean leaving behind knowledge or information, especially if you want it or need it, but it means, again, tuning in. So how many of us have known things in our pregnancies? Right? You probably have, if you've been pregnant, something. You know, you always hear stories of women that knew they were pregnant before they were pregnant, perhaps before they even conceived. Pregnancy is a highly intuitive time in life, And even for those that don't think they're intuitive or, you know, don't think they're good at it, this is a peak time to get in touch with that side. There actually was a study done, University of Arizona, I don't know when it was, Dr. Shamas, and he did a study on mother's intuition in pregnancy and the gender of the baby. So women who claim to have intuition about gender were right 70% of the time. So no surprise there. I personally have always known the gender of my babies. Not that I would pretend to know for anybody else, but I certainly have for myself. So, you know, intuition can be researched. Often it sort of reaffirms what we already know. The thing to be aware of, I think, in this day and age is too much research that might go against intuition. And I certainly have had this happen personally, even in this pregnancy. You know, and I consider myself an intuitive person. So there's research about, you know, this supplement or that supplement, and it can scare you at first. It has scared me. Oh, geez. Well, I didn't know that, and I've been taking that, or what does my gut say? You know, does my gut say it's okay? Is my body asking for a certain food or a certain supplement because it needs it, you know, or am I confusing it with something else, or is it something someone else said or recommended? You know, being pregnant in this day and age, you have a lot to wade through. But just to be aware that intuitive pregnancy is possible doesn't mean you won't come up against studies and information that conflicts with you. But then those are the opportunities to sit with it and say, there is no absolute, nothing is true for everybody. And what do I feel? And there's nothing more liberating than really getting in touch with, this is right for me. Doesn't matter what the study says. This is right for me. So again, intuition in pregnancy is something that most women experience. And again, I don't think it has anything to do with necessarily the choices they're making. There's all kinds of stories, at least online, about, you know, women choosing hospital births that knew much more than their doctors ever would about various things, due dates or the health of the baby or the gender or when they were in labor. So again, intuition in birth may be seen as stereotypically, whatever, crazy, irresponsible, women are hysterical in this mainstream world, but not in this new paradigm of birth and not in the holistic paradigm. So we can respect this part and conduct our own prenatal care, whatever that is, as intuitively as we would like. And again, the beauty of it is that every woman chooses for herself. And it doesn't mean every decision is made by looking within. Some decisions are harder than others, and you might consult your brain or knowledge or research. But in the end, to kind of, you know, try and mix those things up as best you can and get to the root of what you really feel. So again, I choose to honor intuition. I know with my own pregnancies, it's been invaluable, even with this one. Now and again, if something comes up, I know that I trust myself enough to sit with myself and this baby and to just feel what I feel. And again, that's not saying that birth is perfect. Pregnancy is perfect for all of us at every moment. I also believe that I personally would know what there is to know. So if there was something I needed to know, whether that be now or in labor, that I would know because I'm open to it. So it's definitely harder, you know, as someone that assists women. So if you're somebody that is a doula, or if you're just interested from the perspective of you're going to be hiring a midwife or somebody like that, that it is different to have intuitive sense about yourself and then to have it about, you know, other people. And I've definitely learned that over the years. You know, sometimes I don't know why I feel the way I do. When I meet somebody that's pregnant, sometimes, you know, it's really positive and I just know that everything sort of is going to be fine and feel great. And then other times I feel like it's not the right match. And does that mean, you know, something's wrong with the woman or that situation? No, it's just not right for me and I need to acknowledge that. So, you know, it can cross over with fear, as we've said. And sometimes your rational mind really wants to know, why do you feel that way? Sometimes you can't answer it. So at births, We can all use our intuition, especially if we've been developing it through our pregnancies. And unassisted birth really is a great example of intuition in action, hopefully. Again, it's not that things can't come up. You know, there's so many cool stories I've heard lately about unassisted births and women using their intuition. So maybe something does come up. You know, maybe there's a shoulder dystocia types issue when the baby's being born, and these women know exactly what position to get in and when and how and when to push and when to not. And nobody's telling them. It's something inside of them. And some of them hear literal voices and some of them don't. So I'm not necessarily advocating unassisted birth more than I normally would, but I think that if you're intuitive and you trust yourself, that that's really one of your best chances to hear those voices. Because sometimes you can be really intuitive, and if you have people there that are sort of overshadowing you hearing your voice, it creates a problem, and you're not able to access your intuition as well. So one cool story that Laura Shanley likes to tell, and Laura Shanley is the author of Unassisted Childbirth, which is a fabulous book, and the story is in the book, but I've also heard her tell it in person a couple times, is that I think it was her second baby, her own baby, that was breech at the time of birth. And of course she didn't know clinically he was breech because she didn't know how to assess that, and she didn't have anybody helping her, but she had had a dream prior to going into labor where somebody was giving birth to a breech baby, and the voice in her head said something to the effect of, you know, don't do too much, or, you know, gave her some kind of direction. So lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, she goes into labor, and she's literally living out this dream that she had had, and the advice helped her immensely. She knew not to do too much. And I guess she also heard another voice in her head as the baby was actually coming out to give a little push and then to kind of pull back. So, you know, who would come up with that on the outside, right? Even the most amazing, breech birth midwife wouldn't have access to that kind of information because it was completely internal. And she didn't have any huge knowledge base to draw from. She had no idea where it had come from or where she came up with that. It wasn't something she had learned, but yet it was this intuitive sense and actual direction when left to her own devices, no one else to interrupt her. So that's kind of cool. Listening to your gut, that goes for you and me and all of us, whether we're mothers or midwives, or, you know, whether we're just helping our kids cross the street, or whether we're deciding what route to take in the car, listen to your gut. Nothing, in my opinion, is a coincidence. So if something feels a certain way, like you usually make a right at the stop sign, but today you feel like making a left, you know, to get to the same place and you can get there, then who knows why? I always honor those things. I just go with what I'm feeling. One really cool thing I found this week, and it's online somewhere as a PDF, is Robbie Davis Floyd, who I mentioned is a cultural anthropologist, as well as Elizabeth Davis, who's a midwife. They did an interview / article, and it wasn't a study. I mean, it couldn't really have been, I suppose. But anyway, they did this interview article of 22 American midwives, and they interviewed them, and they wanted to know what role intuition played in their behavior at births. So how valuable intuition was. Did they use it over other sources of knowledge? Was it used as the source of knowledge to make decisions? So it's a really cool paper. I believe it's called Intuition as authoritative knowledge in home birth and midwifery. I believe that's the name of it. If anybody wants, they can email me and I'll correct myself if I'm wrong, but you can just find it online. It's like 30 plus pages and it's just really cool. So she cites some highlights of intuition, which I wanted to share with you, even as mothers. That connection is the most important. So again, she's talking about midwives here, but not just midwives. So the connection from midwife to baby, midwife to mother, baby to mother, mother to her partner, partner to baby, partner to family. There's all these connections that go on in somebody's life, and those are the most important things that can happen as prerequisites to intuition. So hopefully that makes sense. You know, you're not an island. Everything's connected. And when you're connected energetically to other beings, then your intuitive sense is probably higher. So being clear and open physically and emotionally is really important so that you can get messages and signs. And I know as midwives, you know, this is super important that when we go to births, we kind of clear ourselves. And not from anything negative per se, but you know, our own lives, our own kids, whatever happened in our day, our own disappointments, our own this, our own that, that we clear that as best we can and we go in as an open vessel to receive messages about this woman and her birth and her baby, and just so they're not confused. But I think as mothers, you know, in our own pregnancies and births, that's hugely important as well, that we can try and clear ourselves maybe each day. Because we all have a lot going on. And why do we feel the way we do at any particular moment? Well, who knows? It could be because, you know, one of the kids did something or the dog messed up the kitchen or who knows what. So to clear ourselves allows us a better chance of getting in touch with what's true in ourselves. So we have to trust. And I know that's easier said than done for a lot of people. I'm sure, you know, some people listening are thinking, well, that's great. I mean, that's nice. How do I do that? Well, you know, that's a whole other podcast probably. But sometimes trust just comes from experience. So being open to trusting yourself and then just finding out step by step that you can trust yourself is a really easy way to do it. Training and knowledge can kind of get in the way of that. So it's not to say, you know, you should hire someone that isn't knowledgeable or you shouldn't be knowledgeable, but just being aware that the more you know, sometimes the harder it is to sort out what you're feeling, but can still be done. So yeah, that paper is really cool. I'm not going to talk more about the midwifery stuff, but if you're interested in reading that intuition sort of as part of home birth, that's great. So the last few minutes on how can you be more intuitive? A few suggestions for you. Listen. Listen to yourself. If you're going to hire somebody to be with you, or not hire, you know, you're going to have somebody with you. Maybe it's your best friend. Pick somebody that's going to listen. And if you are hiring a midwife in particular, pick someone that's going to listen. So she may be the world's smartest midwife, and something as simple as back pain, she might have 500 recommendations, may or may not be helpful. But my suggestion to you is perhaps consider somebody that has the knowledge, but doesn't necessarily need to share all of it with you at every second from the get-go. That, in other words, you hire somebody that says to you, okay, well, your back hurts. Well, what's going on? How does that make you feel? Where are you feeling it? Has this happened before? And then finally, what do you think's going on? Now, back pain might be a silly example, really, because, you know, it could come down to a situation in labor. Is the baby okay? Well, you want to know the answer to that yourself. You know, even if you have to sit with it a minute and separate your fears, you want to know, is my baby okay? That's a really important skill to have, and you need somebody with you that respects that and that has their own sense of intuition and their own sense of knowledge, but very much respects yours. And if there's one pet peeve nowadays, it's midwives that don't respect the women they walk with. And I hate to say, I feel like there are a lot of them that think they know better and they know more. And truth be told, knowledge-wise, they probably do. I mean, I hope they do, right? They're up on the research. They've studied for many years. They certainly intellectually know more. But do they intuitively know more about you? No. And they need to be able to admit that. But the ones that don't, I think, are not good matches for people that really honor their intuition. A good midwife will help you sort out your intuition versus fear. She won't tell you what to do. She'll listen. I think less internet time for most of us when we're learning to work on intuition and separate it from fear is really important. So don't go to the internet. Gosh, I do it too. Something, you know, something comes up, that's the first place you go. Make it a place you don't go, or maybe a place you don't go until much later. Sit with what you already know and what you already feel. because you know what you're going to get there anyway. It's fear. Practice, as we've said. So how do you do this? You can journal. You can ask to remember your dreams. You can practice meditation. You can learn journeying. You can talk to your baby. There's all kinds of ways to just start to get in touch and connect better. And intuition can happen throughout your day in so many ways. So again, like I mentioned, maybe it's making a left at the stop sign instead of the right. You know, it doesn't always have to be a big, super serious matter. Just notice how you feel when you're encountering choices and what choice you make. So those are some suggestions I have, at least, for developing your intuition. Of course, you know, you want to surround yourself with people that support you and are connected and believe in you and trust you and that listen to you. You also just want to reduce the outside noise and interference in your life. And we could all, I'm sure, do better. I know I could with that. So whether that's internet, you know, literal noise, or, you know, subliminal noise and interference, especially at birth, the less interference we have, the easier our intuition flows. So don't doubt yourself. Intuition isn't always right. And as you get to practice it, you'll notice you're getting better. You know, but there'll be times it doesn't feel like you're doing it right or you don't trust yourself. And I think everybody has those times. So in the bigger picture, just creating trust and knowing that your intuition is there for a really great reason. So thanks for listening. I hope that inspired you to know that you know, even if it takes practice. And maybe it'll help you find the right support for your pregnancy and birth experience. Or maybe it'll encourage you to read more about intuition and learn to journey. Who knows? But that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening.